talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And here we go. You are tuned in to WWGH Radio, Thursday, July the 18th, 2019, 14 minutes past the hour, and it's going to be a great night here. We're going to kick things off with the Exchange Club, and we have a very special panelist with us today, and then we're going to roll over into the next hour, and that guest is going to stay with us because there is no lack of news to talk about in the world today. Now, joining us each and every Thursday, Brandy Downs is here, but our special guest, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, I don't think we have talked since you beat everybody in the game show back in March when we were all here together.
No, it's been a while, Grant. We had a lot of interesting discussions that night, I remember.
That was a lot of fun, and now the news is so large that thank goodness we have 2 hours tonight to go over it.
Okay.
And so we'll just get right into it, but we're going to start light here tonight because this is Ohio, and we are big into Neil Armstrong. We are the home of the Wright brothers. Marion is big into the crawler and moon landing. And this week, 50th anniversary of men walking on the moon. Mary Ellen, where were you when men walked on the moon?
Well, I can't remember. I remember where I was when John Glenn went up, but I don't remember where I was when they walked on the moon.
Tell the story. Your museum, first of all, still here in Marion.
Right.
One of my favorite pieces of memorabilia in your museum has to do with John Glenn.
Yes, the $20 bill that he took up in space. And it has the serial number of the date of the flight, 10/29/1998. And he brought it back and had all the astronauts sign a certificate that it had gone up in space. And so, I don't know. When I went to see Neil Armstrong's museum, I just felt it, I don't know. I never felt the same about Neil Armstrong that I did about John Glenn. Mm. You know, sometimes you have that feeling that John Glenn was the one. Whether he didn't get to go to the moon, probably because they wanted him to be a senator. John Kennedy wanted him in politics, and so they saved him. But I think that the moon situation was always questionable. they showed a little spot last night on TV where Neil Armstrong hit somebody that said, you know, made a remark. Did you see that?
I saw that.
I was surprised at that.
You know, there's a lot of conspiracy theory about the moon landing, and I even hate to get into it.
Yeah.
But one thing that is strange, and it is a question I do have, when they got out, when Neil Armstrong got out and put the flag on the moon, there's no gravity on the moon. How did the flag wave?
It waved, did it?
It yeah, all the pictures, the flag is out like this,
uh-huh.
But there's no gravity on the moon, so shouldn't the flag have went down?
I don't know.
That's the only... Brandy, what do you think? That's the only question I have about it. I think they went. I mean, I don't doubt that they went. But I have always wondered that on... I mean, did they have wires in the flag? I mean, I don't understand that picture, I guess.
Well... No, if there was gravity on the moon, the flag would droop down. Because there is no gravity, it can float and stay there. It's like if you open a bottle of water in zero gravity, the water droplets spread out and flow out, right? So it's the same thing with the flag. It's floating and spreading out.
But shouldn't it have floated away then?
Well, not if it's stuck in rock. You can still weight things down with rocks there.
It answers my... I believe they went. I'm not doubting that they went. I believe that they went. I just think it's interesting how that has become a conspiracy theory because I don't think it was for a long time. Was it Mary Ellen?
No, I didn't hear much about it till I started listening to late night radio.
They talk a lot about that overnight.
They bring up all these strange things in the middle of the night.
Zombies. Yeah. And yes.
George Norrie. He's got quite an interesting bunch.
I'd like to meet him.
George Norrie?
Yeah, do you know him?
I interviewed him once.
Did you?
Yeah, he's come to Ohio a few times for seminars.
Yes, he was in Columbus in May, I think it was, at the Lincoln Theater, wherever that is. Where is the Lincoln? I said, I don't know where that is.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's where he was.
Well, I tell you, he has a big following, and his people are... Yeah. I do notice that if you listen to that show, it's a lot of the same people calling in, because they're really into what they're into, aliens and so on and so forth, which is good, though.
Well, they were talking about Edgar Casey the other night, and I am so into Edgar Casey. I even then went to the library and asked for this special book. It was called Angels and Archangels, and the book is not available, but it is on book that you get that's...
like an e-reader?
Yeah. It's on that. Mm-hmm. And now I plugged in my e-reader and the thing is dead.
Oh, no.
So I couldn't bring it up. So I have lost track of the angels and archangels. But anyway.
Well, there are endlessly fascinating things. And we have some kind of group in Ohio that studies the paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because I believe I interviewed that group at one point, and they're an interesting...
Oh, they are. Well, they're located, in on Virginia Beach. I went to Virginia Beach to try to find them, and they were located in this one place. And, he was remarkable, Edgar Casey. I've been a fan of his for years.
Do you think, I would have thought, being in Ohio in 50 years, that it would be bigger than it has been? I know they're doing something in Wapakoneta. I know there's a big celebration there for Neil Armstrong. I believe so. I think tomorrow night, a matter of fact, Friday, they're having some space camera or something. But really... I haven't heard anything in Marion too much about it. I haven't heard any big Ohio celebrations about it. I mean, this was a big moment in history.
Right.
Why do you think it's being kind of forgotten, Brandy? What's your take on it?
I'm not really sure. Other than that, we have a lot of other news to cover every single day.
Well, we can move on to that if you like. No. I was trying to start light with the moon landing.
I mean, you asked me why. I think I saw one of our librarians had on like a little soft plush space helmet thing. That was cute.
That's good. I hope kids do celebrate that, because there was a time after the John Glenns and the Neil Armstrongs and even Apollo 13, which was, thank goodness they all made it back okay, there was a time when I think like the number one or two thing that kids wanted to be was an astronaut.
Yeah.
But no kid today would say they want to be an astronaut. I think...
You don't think?
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But it was very popular at one point. And then the Challenger, I think, brought it back, even though it was tragic.
I remember where I was when that happened.
We'll talk about that. That was...
Yeah, I was state treasurer. I was in the car. I was over on the east side of the state, and I remember hearing that. And I had been so thrilled that school teacher was going to get to go up. And I just felt terrible about that.
It was such a tragedy, and it was so awful because of the school teacher, and that anybody dies that way. But it did thrust light. I think NASA thought it was going to hurt them, and maybe it did temporarily, but I think it did rejuvenate the program, because there had been a long time where there was no interest.
Yeah.
In the 70s, not a whole lot went on.
Yeah.
That had, matter of fact, I think Apollo 13... When they went up, the networks didn't even carry until the tragedy happened, that they thought they weren't going to make it home. But I don't really think the networks were carrying the flight.
Was that right?
I believe isn't that? I think that's in the movie, isn't with the Tom Hanks movie.
I'm not.
Have you seen Apollo 13?
I have, but
I think that's
right. I don't
right.
remember if the news. Don't. I mean, I think with Challenger. Were you in school yet when that happened? Probably.
I was in school.
Okay, because I thought that I was too. I think I remember watching on television.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you know.
Well, yeah, they called everybody in to watch it because a teacher was going up.
Yes.
My God.
Yeah.
Leaving teachers to describe that. Most schools went home early that day.
Yeah.
That was not a pleasant day.
Right. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I wish there was more celebration, but maybe there will be as the summer goes on. But this was it yesterday? Wasn't it yesterday, 50 years?
I think it was. But can you imagine how you would feel if you were an astronaut? They seem to want to do this, but I'd be scared to death going up in space.
Well, you know, my favorite, I just think, well, yeah, it would be frightening to be up there.
Oh, gosh, yes.
My favorite story about this, because it was John Kennedy's dream and proclamation.
Yeah.
He didn't live to see it. But Helen Thomas, who became friendly with me later on in life, who was a dean of the White House press corps, who was there when Kennedy was there, she said she was at the luncheon where Kennedy brought this up and told all these businessmen and people and reporters that by the time this decade's over, we're going to put a man on the moon. And she said everybody clapped and it was so happy. And he left the room and they all went, this guy is nuts. But it happened. So congratulations to Neil Armstrong. And I know that it is a big deal in Wapakoneta. And I know if you go to Wapakoneta, which is right here in Ohio, this week, there's a lot of celebration over there. I believe there's a John Glenn museum over there, as Mary Ellen has said. And I think there's something to do with the roof that's kind of special. I can't remember what I read, but there's something. So go to Wapakoneta. I'm sure they've got a lot of moon t-shirts and all kinds of stuff to buy. So 50 years here in Ohio somebody from Ohio landed on the moon. And Buzz Aldrin. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he at? You think somebody would have talked to him this week?
Well, they did.
Did they?
On one of the news shows yesterday. Yeah, somebody talked to him.
Can you? I think for 50 years he's been ticked because he was left in the thing. He didn't get to be the first guy. Can you imagine that?
That would make him upset, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's probably thinking, now the other guy is dead. Yeah. Why am I not being brought up?
Yeah.
I wonder how they chose that.
Well,
two guys.
The guy in charge, you know.
I guess. He was just second mate. But Buzz Aldrin, you know, those were the two. So there it is. But certainly John Glenn. I wonder why so much came from Ohio when it came to do with the moon.
Huh. Well, Ohio had a lot of important people.
You know, you can track so much back here.
Yeah, you know, all the presidents that came from Ohio.
And speaking of the president, he's had an interesting time of it lately. We're just going to touch on this because we don't know too much about it, but we do want to stay relevant, that apparently the FBI revealed today that President Trump did know about the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. A matter of fact, they had emails and phone records that he knew what was going on, that Hope Hicks knew what was going on, and that Michael Cohen knew what was going on. And possibly, I'm certain there were some other people in that story as well. But that's all we know. That's not totally been flushed out yet. But the fact that it is no longer person one, the fact that it is the president, and the fact that the FBI has the goods, what do you make of that, Mary Ellen?
I just, you know, I watched that tape of Trump with what's the guy, the sex guy's name?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein.
Yeah.
I can't help but think, what kind of a character is this president of ours? You know, he just has no morals at all, and there he is. And it was. I think that he's so guilty on so many things that I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, these are criminal charges. Now, not that Richard Nixon didn't do something criminal, because it was a cover-up, and he did partake in that. And not that Bill Clinton didn't do something illegal. He did lie under oath. But I really think these are apples and oranges when it comes to what Trump is being implicated in and what they're being implicated in or were being implicated in. And I think that does change the story because these are criminal charges, and I don't think you can plea bargain your way out of them. Now, I don't think he has anything to worry about as long as he's still president, but what happens when he's not president, Brandy?
You know, I don't have
well, what
a
about
lot
like
of faith.
Hope, what about Hope Hicks? Or,
yes.
I mean, isn't she in trouble?
Well, I think she
what about
lied
her?
Under,
oh, yes,
under oath.
So.
And
you know, she's a nice-looking girl. She's not going to look good in orange.
Yeah. Well, that Trump's color is orange.
She's
He'll
been
be
standing
all right.
next to orange. Yeah, she'll be fine. I don't know. I mean, I sincerely hope that there is justice to be had, but I don't have a lot of faith in the politicians to, and the justice system to get it done at this point. I think we have a long history in this country of people in power getting away with things they shouldn't be getting away with. So, I don't know.
Well,
I'm not gonna make any predictions about
what happens. I will agree with you that I don't think he'll be pardoned, or I don't think he'll be impeached. I don't, because the Senate will not remove him. The Senate will not convict. And I actually think that's why Pelosi doesn't want to do it, because she figures it's a lost cause anyway.
And he'll come out smelling like a rose.
Right.
He'll say, you know, they can't impeach me.
Right. That I didn't do anything wrong.
Yes.
I'm exonerated.
Right.
But when he's no longer president, the Congress and the Senate no longer have anything to do with it. It's a court of law. It's matter of fact, it's the Southern District of New York, which you cannot be pardoned from. So not only could he not be pardoned, it's going to be a jury. It's not going to be Congress. And you can lose faith in the politicians, as you said, to get this done. But it's no longer a matter of the politicians when he's no longer in office.
I still maintain that I think he could get a plea deal done before he ever had it go to trial. I can see that happening. I can see that courtesy being extended to him as a former president. I don't want that to happen.
By a Democrat?
But
you really believe that a Democrat would do it?
Look, there are lots of things that I didn't think Democrats would do at this point or that I thought they would do and they haven't done. So
I'll tell you what, and I this is no opinion, but if you defeat Donald Trump in an election and one of your first acts is to pardon Donald Trump, that will be on your tombstone.
It'll be the end of you.
It will be here.
It doesn't have to be a pardon. It can just be, you know, oh, we made an agreement. Yes, he's going to be indicted, but he's not going to spend any time in prison. And I mean,
that'll be here lies the Democrat that pardoned Donald Trump.
There have been plenty of white collar, you know, criminals who have skated by on us.
Mary Ellen, do you think a Democrat could pardon Donald Trump?
No.
No. Do you think a Democrat could strike a deal with Donald Trump?
No.
But it doesn't happen.
No, I don't think they would ever even think about it.
The Southern District of New York is not just made up of Democrats. I mean, the Attorney General is a Democrat, but there are other people in play there. There are other politicians. There are other law enforcement officials.
Do you think there are a lot of Republican politicians in New York? I mean,
the governor. Where did Donald Trump come from?
I understand that, but
they do exist.
I'm not sure. I'm still not sure that Donald Trump's a Republican.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I think Donald Trump is.
He has his own party. It's him.
Well, but the Republicans have now become the party of Donald Trump. So whether he started as a Republican or not, he's now the head of the party. They're all backing him.
But let's not forget, he was also the guy that supported Hillary Clinton's Senate campaign. Hillary Clinton went to his wedding. You know, he's not exactly Mr. Republican. He's not exactly Ronald Reagan or George Bush.
No, but I think there's definitely a difference between, you know, what nowadays is called a rhino and the Trump supporters. But the party as a whole right now is supporting Donald Trump. The Republican Party is supporting Donald Trump.
I don't think if he loses, they will.
Well,
no.
We'll see.
No. What do they have to support them?
Yeah. Yeah. It's such an interesting study on human nature here. I think they're going to be, their reputations are going to be ruined when they get, when this all gets done.
Where is Paul Ryan?
Well, wasn't that interesting, his book and what he had to say? Yeah. Why didn't he say it when he was there?
You know,
he was afraid to.
Yes, he's a coward.
Yeah, he is a coward.
Well, he is. But you know, I think the book is his way of saying it. Now,
yeah.
It is true that he didn't say it while he was there, but I think he's trying to say it now.
Yeah, well.
Too little too late, I guess, but that's the way it goes. That's that, so we're going to leave that there till we know more about it. But this other story has so many tentacles off of it that we're going to approach it from a lot of different ways here. Okay, President Trump last week said of this new group of Congresswomen.
The squad.
The squad.
Mm-hmm.
Send them back. Isn't this what he said? I don't want to misquote him because this is where it's getting awful strange.
Send them back where they came from.
Send them back where they came from.
He specifically said the word countries.
Right. Okay. Now, they got angry and they said, we're from Michigan and we're from so on and so forth. And I think only one of them was from a different country, but she's a citizen.
Yeah. And one was from Cincinnati.
One's from Cincinnati. You're right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So that happened. And President Trump came under scrutiny, and Congress was not happy with this, so they put a censor on him, which is actually the first time that's happened since William Howard Taft, and he was censored for trying to influence a Senate campaign. So it's quite different what this president has been censored for. And Nancy Pelosi gets up during the censor hearing and calls the president a racist, and they call her out of line because I guess there is a rule on the books that from the congressional floor, the House floor, you can't attack the president's character, I think is how it reads. So she was reprimanded for saying what she said. And now the president had one of his rallies, presidential rallies, where people were chanting. And I guess they were chanting, send her back at the rally. And today he said, I don't think that was good.
Trump said that?
Yeah, he said, I don't think they should have been. I felt bad.
We let him go.
He did let him go.
But then he also said in that same interview that he didn't let them go, that he stopped them, that he started talking almost immediately, which is absolutely not true.
He stood and looked around for ages, and then they went on and on. Yes.
So the big question is, why is he walking this back? They chanted it at the rally. They've censored him now. He said it to begin with. Why is he walking this back? He doesn't walk a whole lot back.
No, he doesn't, and he'd have to have a reason to do it, and it would be some criticism from somebody that he listens to.
That's right, and I wonder who that is, because when he said that he felt bad for the women and that he did not like this chant, something happened. What's your guess, Brandy? Why is he walking this back?
I don't recall him saying he felt bad for the women.
I think he said he felt bad. He felt bad. Didn't he say that?
I didn't hear that. Is what he said.
Maybe I dream. I might have misheard what he said.
Well, maybe, you know, it's possible that I don't have the exact quote either, but I don't know. I mean, I did see a couple of polls that came out that said even, you know, there was even a plurality of Republicans who felt that the remarks
weren't there
were
only
racist
four that and, voted to censor him, though?
Yes.
Only four?
But of the voting populace, even a plurality of Republicans felt that those remarks were racist, and so, you know, maybe he listened, but I doubt it. I don't know.
Well, something.
I have no idea why
he wouldn't do that without somebody important influencing him.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Something happened, and you know the remark itself. What was the original remark? Because it's important to know what the original remark was. Send them back to where they came from, or something
keep
like
talking,
that.
Yeah, I'll look.
Yeah,
up.
I think that's it. Was of that gen- But you know, when I heard it, I'll be honest. I did not think, after all the stuff that's been said in the last, I did not think that would be the thing that would be really latched on to.
And you know why? Because you're not black.
Exactly.
If you had been black, you would know immediately what that means.
Well, I guess, in my mind, when he said he did not know who David Duke was.
Oh, well.
I thought that would have been, people would have said, wow, that's... And when he said during the Charlottesville thing that there were good people on both sides, I thought, well, maybe people will jump up at that. When he went after Kaepernick for kneeling at the football game, I thought, well, maybe that'll be the thing. That this became the thing to me is fascinating, that those other things didn't do it, but that this did. I'm not saying it wasn't a racist comment, but I thought it surprised me that this was the one.
Well, I can tell you it's very, very powerful when you say something racist. It is very powerful. Yeah.
Why do you think these women have such a standing? Because just the Friday before, they were in a fight with Nancy Pelosi from their own party.
They're remarkable.
Yeah. As a lifelong Democrat, national office holder for Democratic President Bill Clinton, what do you make of this new wing of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think they're terrific. I think they need to learn to work with their leader. But I think they're terrific. They gave some really wonderful speeches. I thought they were very controlled, and I was so impressed with them. And of course, AORC or whatever her name.
AOC.
Yeah. I think she's really something. She has caught on like you wouldn't believe. And that's important in politics.
Should Nancy Pelosi have told them? Here's another story. It's so many stories. Should Nancy Pelosi have told them, "Don't tweet, don't do this," you know?
Well, I would have. Maybe she did. I don't know. Did she tell?
She
him?
Did. Should she have done that?
She told him not to tweet.
Yeah, and that apparently caused a little bit of an uprising because they want to.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Nancy Pelosi is a Democrat like they are. I think they believe in different things.
I just can't think that maybe she's had to fight like they have. They have had to fight like crazy to get where they are. You know, their backgrounds are really impressive. And now Nancy Pelosi came from a Democratic area. You don't have to fight as hard when you come from a Democratic area as you do where these women came from, and makes a big difference.
You know, there is a... Do you have that quote, Brandy?
Yes.
Okay. What did President Trump say?
Long.
Exactly.
Oh,
give
it?
Us. Well, give it to us. We want to make sure we're correct.
It's so interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt, and inept anywhere in the world, if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it is done? And then it continues on from there, but that's the part that everyone is...
Did he say their names? Because that's what I couldn't figure out. I think it was implied who it was, but I was... I never heard him say the names. Now, maybe I just missed that.
Well, last night he said Omar.
Oh, did he say Omar?
Oh, yes,
well, yes
he did,
that,
yeah. But I don't know if he did that.
I don't know. I try to ignore Donald Trump's tweets. And so, I'm not exactly sure at this point what the context was in which he decided to tweet that out.
That was a tweet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was a
tweet.
Long tweet.
Well, it was several. It was threaded.
Oh.
Yeah.
It had dot, dot, dot.
Right.
Yeah.
But to the question that you asked Mary Ellen, I think part of what has made these particular women stand out is the fact that they are so good at social media.
Yeah.
This is why they came to prominence in the way that they did. Mm-hmm. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was, you know, really excellent at harnessing Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all of those things in order to gather the following. And that's why it chafes when Nancy Pelosi or anyone else tells them not to tweet, because that is how they, you know, got to the position that they're in.
Yeah.
But isn't that the Hillary Clinton problem as we go into a presidential election, that Hillary Clinton was seen as a standard bearer Democrat, and whether people liked him or disliked him, Bernie was seen as a progressive, and he had a lot of young people following him, and the young people I don't think came out for Hillary. So isn't that Nancy Pelosi's quandary here, that she's saying sit down and shut up till the election's over, because if we do get a Joe Biden, or we do get a Cory Booker, or we do get, I don't even think Kamala Harris is a progressive. I don't think she would want to be called a progressive. So if you get these candidates, are these people going to go along, or are they only going to be happy with Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders? See, I think that's Nancy Pelosi's quandary at this problem. It was Hillary Clinton's problem, wasn't it, Mary Ellen?
Well, you know, there's a big difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The Republican Party, they do what they're told. The Democratic Party, they do not. They think for themselves. They fight their battles. And she's had her hands full trying to keep everybody together here. That's what she's trying to do. And she's got these young women that are really, you know, talented, and I'm so impressed with them. I'm impressed with Nancy Pelosi, too, but she's got her hands full. But that's the big difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party.
Here's a little tease. As I said, Mary Ellen's kind enough to stick with us for another hour tonight. And next hour, we've talked about it on this show, so we don't need to recover it here. But we haven't talked with Mary Ellen about it. We're going to talk about the first Democratic presidential debate, and we're going to find out what Mary Ellen thinks about Kamala Harris's little shot at Joe mm-hmm. Biden. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that next hour, so stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. But is Kamala Harris a progressive? Who are the progressives? See, in my mind, it's Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Does anybody else on that stage qualify as what they would call a progressive? Because didn't AOC say it was one of those two for her? I thought she did. Maybe she didn't.
I don't know.
I bet she did. I didn't hear that, but you know, she's into the green thing, and yeah.
Is that good for the Democratic Party?
I don't know. I can't really say that I don't know enough about it.
Didn't they say Hillary, though, really ticked people off in West Virginia and Ohio and coal mine country?
Oh, well, she said, you know, that, yeah, she made that remark about coal miners, which was a stupid remark. And, but she, I mean, she knows that coal mining's done for. I mean, that was the thing.
You know, it's very interesting. We do talk about the Republican Party now being the Trump Party, and I think that's probably right. For better or worse, if you're a Republican, you make that choice. But the Democratic Party is kind of interesting right now, because are they the Cortez, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Omar Party, or are they the Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, Barack Obama Party? Which are they?
Well, you know, when I first ran for office, they wanted to know what kind of a Democrat I was. And I said, I didn't know there was different kinds of Democrats. I said, I'm a Democrat, and that's it. And now you're getting all these things attached to their names. I think they're all terrific. Did you hear Trump last night talking about Mayor Pete? He was really giving it to him.
You know, do you think Trump feels threatened, or do you think Mayor Pete's an easy target?
Well, I don't know. It could be a little bit of both. I think he's an easy target, and I think Trump is threatened. He's got to be threatened. I mean, his numbers don't look too good there.
We've discussed this on the show, and I want to get your thought on this, Mary Ellen. And I've said this as just an observation. I think Mayor Pete, great what he's done in South Bend there. Great that he's openly gay. Good for him. You know, you have to be what you are. But I think he could win a Democratic primary, maybe, because only Democrats vote in a Democratic primary in most states. But I don't think, and I hate saying this, I don't think a homosexual could be elected president. I don't think an atheist could be elected president. Mm-hmm. I don't think a homosexual. And it's sad to say, I'm not even sure a woman could. The one time we went for it, didn't happen.
Well, now, he's raised $24 million in this last period, and that's pretty darn good, which tells me there's a lot of people supporting him.
Do you have to have the Bible Belt behind you to win? Do you have to appeal in some way to them? And are churches going to get behind an openly gay candidate in 2020?
Well, that's a good point. The Methodist Church has a real problem with that. And I'm a Methodist.
I
get disgusted with them. I don't know. I think everything's going to sort out. You know, the debates and they will sort everything out.
You know, interestingly enough, I thought that Mayor Pete was going to be the star of those debates, and he wasn't. He wasn't really.
Well, he might have his chance next time. You know, they get their opening, just like Kamala. She got her opening, and she went with it.
She certainly
did. She's really good, and people realize that she can hold her own. And, you know, I've said this about Biden. I like Biden tremendously, but I don't think he should be president. But he's still ahead. And if he's the one, of course, I'm going to support him. But I think we need new blood in there. I really would like to see some new blood.
What do you think about all this, Brandy? What do you think about Mayor Pete? What do you think about why did Trump walk this back? Do you have an idea? Why is this the one? After the David Duke, after the Colin Kaepernick, after the Charlottesville, why is this the one that he had to walk back a little bit?
Well, this one was pretty blatant. There are, I mean, let's just be honest about this country. Anytime there is something racist said, there are people who bend over backwards to make excuses for why it's not racist. At this point, he has said something that there is no context in which you can say that thing and not be considered racist. There isn't any other reason to have said it. So I think maybe that's why people are latching on to it. As far as why he's walked it back, I have no idea. I don't understand Trump's psychology at all.
You know, I want to get this in. I heard a fact, I believe it was last night, and I checked it, and it's fascinating to me. Do you know which country has the most overstayed United States visas? Canada.
Oh, really?
That makes
really?
Sense to me.
Canada.
Yeah. It's so close.
Yeah,
but they're the ones who are breaking this law more than any other country, but nobody ever talks about Canada.
No.
Nobody ever even brings it up. That's strange to me.
There's something else that Canada had more of, and I can't remember what it was the other day that really surprised me. It was about the immigrant situation. I think they had more immigrants or something, didn't they?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And I
don't.
I think Canada embraces immigration right now.
Yeah.
When we're not so much in this country at this particular point in time. Well, as I say, Mary Ellen's going to stick with us through the next hour, so we'll go back to politics next hour and talk some more about some of these other things. But there are some fun stories, and this one to me is almost an epidemic story. There is an app on Facebook right now. Did you see this?
I have seen
that started
it.
Out as a fun thing, and why it's fun, I have no idea. But what it does is you take a picture of yourself. Thank God I didn't do it. But you take a picture of yourself, and it ages you. And it's supposed to show you what you look like in, but it doesn't tell you the amount of years. It's like 20, probably 30 years. But here's the kicker in this whole bit. We find out in the last 24 hours that they think this was put out by the Russians to get people's pictures.
Oh.
And that's true, isn't it, Brandy? That they've almost tracked this down.
That is true.
That now if you have done this, the Russians have your pictures.
And they have the rights to your pictures.
Well, Russia doesn't have my picture. I didn't do that little thing.
Well, mine either.
I don't have to do it. I'm already there.
Why do people do stuff like that?
They're bored? I don't know. All of those apps are very popular nowadays. I don't use any of them.
I mean, have you ever done any of that, Mary Ellen, done those apps or anything?
Oh, no. No, why would I do that?
Well, I don't know why anybody does. It's a strange thing to me.
I know what
overall.
I'm going to look like, yeah.
Well, it's become popular, but yet, you know, this is how people from foreign countries are getting information, and that's very scary.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the big concern with this one is that deep fake technology where they can take somebody's face and overlay it to make it look like somebody else, or make it look like that person is saying mm-hmm. things or doing things that they're not saying or doing. And that's yeah. why it's concerning that now they have complete rights to your photo.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't really understand it, but so many people did it. You know, it's a very common thing that when somebody does something, people jump on and do it, even when it's something that is not all that great, I guess is what I should say. You know, that, I don't know what why it's positive to age yourself and then show that to a bunch of people. But that's what people do.
I guess
do.
When you're young, it's a novelty. I don't know.
I guess. Put a little bit of gray hair on yourself and see what goes on.
Just look at your mom or dad. Then you'll yeah. know what is you're going to look like when you're old. You're go?
Well, here's an interesting thing. There was an article in a magazine recently about the worst career advice you were ever given, that people give bad career advice, that most people, even unsolicited, when you talk about your career, will give you advice, and usually it's bad advice. So, in your life, Brandy, what is the worst career advice you were ever given?
Do what you love and the money will come, which is just not true.
Oh, somebody told you that. Somebody told, do what you love and the money will come. Mm-hmm. Mary Ellen, what's the worst career advice you ever got?
Well, a friend of mine told me not to run for another office, just stay Marion County Treasurer the rest of my life. And I looked at him, and you know, he was thinking how painful it was going to be. That's what he was thinking of. A good friend of mine, he's dead now, but yeah, and so
Well, that's interesting, because yeah. it is true then, just like the article said, that people do give bad career advice.
Well, you know, there's still people in office that was in office when I was in office. I hate to say, but that's a long time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they're still there.
You know, I've always said that, and I don't think it's intentional, and I'm sure with your friend it wasn't intentional. He was worried about...
He was worried about me going through a lot of bad things, and he knew, yeah.
But I always believe, don't tell people what you want to do, because intentionally they will throw cold water on you. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a reaction, I think maybe a protective reaction, to try to tell somebody not to do that. I don't know. I thought that was an interesting question. Now, I've never seen this show in my life, but I thought this was an interesting question. Do you watch this Real Housewife?
No.
Stuff.
I no. don't like that.
I no. I have seen episodes.
You've seen episodes of this? But here's
I don't
the question.
Watch it religiously yeah. or anything.
Well, here's the question that came up on one of these shows. I've never seen it, honestly. But apparently, Kelsey Grammer, who we all watched as Frasier, yeah. his wife is on the show. Mm-hmm. And so Charlie Sheen, who we've all watched on 2.5 Men and movies, his wife is on the show. Why? I have no idea who these people are or why they're important, but they're on the show, so we're all happy with that. But the conversation came up that because California is a community property divorce state, you get half of what your partner has, even if you didn't contribute any way in getting that money. And Camille Grammer took half of Kelsey Grammer's money, $30 million, I guess. I guess it pays to be Frasier for 22 years on television. But Charlie Sheen's wife only took a little. She didn't take the 50%, and apparently she shamed Camille Grammer for taking half. Said, you're greedy. You had nothing to do with that fame. So I guess the question is, should you take half of your husband's money if a divorce comes up, Mary Ellen?
Sure.
You think that's the way to do it?
Absolutely.
No hesitation on that
no,
one.
No.
So Mrs. Grammer was right.
Well, you're right. Why shouldn't you? Things probably aren't too happy anyway if you're getting a divorce.
Well, that's true. That's true. It's not the best of times.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brandy? Was Camille Grammer right to grab the $30 million?
I don't know. I mean, that's a very personal situation that I don't think other people should be judging one way or another. I don't think anyone should be shaming her for doing it or, you know.
But... she did it on television, so we can talk
well,
about it.
Yeah.
If
yes,
this was in a private room,
I just
maybe
don't
we
have
wouldn't.
An opinion on it. I mean, I don't know. For me,
for
personally,
you, would you take $30 million?
That you know? I think I would do whatever got rid of him the fastest. That would be...
I don't think taking the 30 million would get rid of him the fastest.
Well, then I probably wouldn't take it. I would just want to get
away.
Really?
You'd walk away from $30 million, even though you technically had the right to it.
To get away from Kelsey Grammer? Yes, I think so.
Well, no, to get away from whoever your husband is. I don't want to say
well,
your husband.
I don't want to get away from my husband.
I understand. That's why I don't want to say your husband, but I'm saying
no, if
you're married.
No, if it was something that I was so unhappy that I wanted to get divorced, yeah. Then yeah, I think I would just want to be done with it as quickly as possible. And I don't want to quibble over material things. I just want to move on with my life.
I think one of the worst jobs would be a divorce lawyer. I bet they have a horrible time with some of these divorces.
I think they make a lot of dough, though.
Oh, they do. Of course they do.
They get a cut of that 30.
Yeah, right. The divorce judges. Yeah. That's
yeah.
really who.
Yeah, right.
They get a cut of that $30 million.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but it's a pretty interesting thing. Before we wrap up today on this show, and again, Mary Ellen's going to stick with us another hour, it's kind of a seminal day. I don't think it'll go anywhere in the Senate, but the House did pass today the $15 minimum wage.
Oh, did they?
Now, the Senate... Good. Probably will just do away with that, and I think certainly the president would veto it if it ever did pass the Senate, which probably it won't. But this is a Bernie Sanders original idea from mm-hmm. 4 years ago, and now it's something that can pass a Democratic Congress with a lot of standard-bearer Democrats. What has happened? What has changed? When Bernie first said this, I think Hillary even rapped him on the fingers and said that's a bad idea.
This is why it is so important for the Democratic Party to be a broad umbrella and welcome everybody in. That's why it's important. We have moderates to keep us grounded. We have progressives to move us forward. This is the good thing about the Democratic Party is that we can take an idea mm-hmm. and, you know, keep hammering at it until it becomes normal, and we can move forward with it. That's why the progressives are important. Even if you don't agree with everything that they say right now, this is why they're important.
But is the $15 minimum wage, Mary Ellen, a turnoff to people in the Midwest, to people in Pennsylvania, to people in Michigan, to people in Wisconsin? Because obviously those people did not vote for Hillary Clinton, those people in the majority.
I don't think it was the $15 thing. Yeah.
That brought up a lot of... people were angry with that. I do remember.
They were? Well, I think it's the thing to do. I think we need to raise... I think that's the best thing to do.
My question is, what happens, though, if you raise the minimum wage to $15? If you're making $13 now and you've been at your job 20 years, which is... totally possible. Certainly in Marion, Ohio, that's possible. Do you just get grandfathered up to 15 and you're making the same as the kid who just started that job? I think that would cause some resentment.
It probably would, yeah.
See, I don't know how you do that because it's such a big leap. Isn't minimum wage like 8-something right now?
I can say that when I was working at minimum wage in my teen years... at Sears many years ago, when they raised the minimum wage, it wasn't that, you know, I suddenly was making the same as the people ahead of me who had been making just above minimum wage. They bumped them too.
Oh, did
so,
they?
I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if it would be dependent on the company or I don't know, but that's the way that...
But that's a big bump. I mean, the minimum wage increases that you and I saw were not nearly doubling the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard, I would think, because is the company going to sell anymore? I don't think they are. I don't know. Maybe they will. See, that's the question with the $15 minimum wage.
Yeah, but how do you know their earning isn't way up there for the top person? The top person is probably making over $1 million a year.
Well, and
you know, that's what is so disgusting to me. It doesn't go down to the workers, the people that do all the work for them.
Right. It's like your worth is based on your title, which isn't fair.
Absolutely. We do have one phone call. We're going to take it before we wrap up today. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Nope, maybe we won't get that in. But it's an interesting conversation to have because the Congress passed it. And... is this just symbolic, I guess, before we wrap up this hour? Is it just symbolic? Because Senate's not going to pass this.
They're trying to show that they're doing something. They're upset because they can't get anything passed. I mean, they pass all these bills, and they sit there with McConnell. He doesn't do a blessed thing.
Is the country, Brandy, ever going to be able to do anything as long as we have different chambers in the House and Senate?
I don't know, to be quite honest. I mean, at this point, no. And as long as Mitch McConnell is there, he as long as he's in charge of the Senate, he will stonewall.
You know, just to be fair, because Marion votes very Republican these days, a lot of people will say the same of Nancy Pelosi. They'll say as long as she's there, Mitch McConnell can't get done what he wants. And that's
right.
The problem
but
is that
Nancy Pelosi didn't stonewall a Supreme Court justice for an entire year. I mean, they have gone above and beyond, and Mitch McConnell has explicitly said that is his one goal in the Senate.
In that, and boy, I wish we'd have come to that earlier, but before we wrap up here in 60 seconds, and Mary Ellen's going to stay with us, so maybe we'll go a little further into it, but there is no law on the books that says the Senate has to confirm or have hearings on a Supreme Court justice. Why did Obama not just swear him in? If it really truly was obstruction, which is what everybody says now, that Mitch McConnell stonewalled him for the last year and a half of his presidency, why didn't Obama swear him in and dare Mitch McConnell in the Senate to take him out? He could have done that.
No, the Supreme Court justices, they have to be confirmed by the Senate.
Confirmed, but the hearings don't have to happen.
Okay, but they weren't going to confirm him.
Right, but if Obama would have sworn him in, just done it, he said, you are doing something illegal here. This is treasonous. You're wrong. You're breaking the law. You're holding me up just for political reasons. Why didn't Obama swear him in, which he could have done? He did a lot of executive orders and things of that nature. Why didn't he swear him in and dare them to pull him out? It changed the balance forever. The answer is, if you ask Obama, he'll say, well, we all thought Hillary was going to win. Well, you know, that answer is getting a little long in the tooth these days, that we thought Hillary was going to win because she didn't. So,
well, I mean, and this is the problem, is that there are two parties playing by two separate rules, and that's going to continue.
Well, but look what before we wrap up this hour, look what the Republicans did when the Democrats were not going to vote for the Supreme Court Justice.
Kavanaugh.
Yeah. They just they did the nuclear option. Changed it. Changed the number of votes you had to have. See, that's what the Republicans do. They find a way to get it done. The Democrats try to stay within their rules, and they don't do that.
But then the Republicans will whine about that rule change later and act like it wasn't them who did it. So...
Well, yeah, but
that's also what they do.
Reality is perception, though. You know, and this court is young, and I think it's going to go on for a long time. But Mary Ellen's going to stick with us, so we're going to learn about, the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris dust up at the first Democratic primary and what she thinks about that. And, you know, Joe Biden's been called a racist. We talked about President Trump being called a racist, and now Kamala Harris says that she didn't mean anything by that. We'll find out what Mary Ellen has to say about that next hour. Brandy, always good to see you. We'll be back with this program next week, but stay tuned. We've got more in about 10 minutes.